Eternal Father, we're down to our last 45 minutes, and Father, I pray that you will help us, Lord, as we must be all tired mentally, maybe physically as well. Help us to concentrate so we can focus on this important topic. And Lord, spiritual things are spiritually discerned, so may your Holy Spirit come and teach us all your truth on this matter. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, so my first question is, so why talk about masculinity and femininity? This question. So why talk about it? Any thoughts? George? Huh? Okay, it's an essential. Huh?
It defines everything.
It defines, like, what do you mean? Okay, it defines who we are as humans. Okay, fine, let's go with that. Anything else? Why talk here 45 minutes about masculinity and femininity? Yes, what's your name?
Dorcas.
Pardon?
Dorcas.
Dorcas, okay. Good.
I think it's becoming an issue in the world, so...
Yes, yes, good point. It's not even just becoming an issue, it's been an issue for a long time, and we are late on the boat and talking about it. Okay, what else? It's an issue in the world. Mia?
Because most people are confused to what is the role of being a male and female.
Right, okay. Well, there's a lot of confusion. We're going to talk a little bit about that. Okay. Anything else? Angie? Mm-hmm.
And also it's representative of God's relationship with his church, right?
Right,
so
right.
So if we understand the meaning amongst humans, we can understand better how we relate to Christ.
Right, right, exactly. So we're going to talk about that verse, right? In marriage, I was talking to a marriage counselor, and I'm not in a relationship with getting married or anything, okay? It was a side conversation, and I just asked her, you know what? What do you think is the number one way to fix most of the marriage problems? And she said, we have to teach them the roles of man and woman. This is at the core. Okay, of course, you know, there's a character and stuff like that of Jesus, right? But see, practically speaking, it's knowing the roles of man and woman. If people understand that, lots of marriage problems would be solved. Okay, so very, very important. So like some of the things that we said, our gender is an important aspect of who we are as humans. Right? Yes. So if you look at little boys and girls, right, they start to act differently, yes? Right? The way they interact and play, it's different. Right? So, and how they identify, you know, like, oh, girls have cooties and like stuff like that. You know, did you ever do that? Right? And guys kind of identify themselves as guys and girls as girls. And so it's like, to understand our gender, our sex, is to understand humanity, right? Another thing, society is talking about it. Is that true? Yes or no? Huh? It's society is talking about it. So, have you guys heard about Sheryl Sandberg recently? Sheryl Sandberg, do you know who she is? She's the COO, Chief Operating Officer of Facebook. Okay, and she wrote a book called Lean In. And basically, it's like another manifesto for feminism. And she's saying, you know, the women in the business world are not cracking the glass ceiling. Do you know what the glass ceiling is? Okay. The concept? The glass ceiling is basically this concept that, you know, climb the corporate ladder, right? You know, you start off like a frontline worker like I am right now, and then you climb the ladder, manager, and then director, and then you go to like the executive leadership. So women right now are underrepresented in executive leadership positions in companies and corporate world. And it's like, they're looking up, they want to go through it, but they can't because there's a glass ceiling. Right? So she's like, we have to break this glass ceiling. And what she basically does is that the problem that women are not going to those positions is because of, like, women, their characteristics. They're not strong enough, you know? They're not, like, bold enough. So basically she was blaming women, and a lot of people were upset. A lot of feminists were upset at her, saying, oh, you're blaming us women for our own problems. It's actually society. It's actually men, you know? So she's caused a lot of stir, okay? But it's a gender issue, right? And do you have any Americans here? No. Okay. I'm sure you did you hear about DOMA, right? DOMA? Defense of Marriage Act and Proposition 8? Yeah, so as you may or may not know, who's familiar here with DOMA and Proposition 8? Yes, okay. Basically, it's like, it's these, Bill Clinton signed a law defining marriage as between man and woman. Then in California, the California voters voted some time ago to define marriage as being a man and woman. That's called Proposition 8. But recently, just in this past June, I think, the Supreme Court of the United States of America, they shut down DOMA and Proposition 8, basically opened the door for wholesale same-sex marriage across the states, okay? It is a gender issue because it's saying our gender does not in any way affect how we should be married. Do you understand? Yes? Right? So gender issue is all over the place. You open the newspaper, you read the newspaper, there's going to be some gender issue. CNN, CTV, there's always talk about some gender issue. It is an issue in society, okay? Society's talking about it. Feminism has drastically changed our understanding of gender. True? Yes or no? Huh? How? Well, first, what is feminism? Huh? What'd you say?
A bunch of women?
No. There's a lot of men who are feminists. And a lot of men. Angie, what's feminism?
It's a movement that basically says that women are equal with men in every aspect. We can do the jobs that men can do. Like, women can, you know, take on any role that a man can do. Like, that's why women are in the army and all that. Mm-hmm. Leadership positions. And we should not, women should not be treated differently because they're women. They should be treated exactly like a man would be treated.
Right. So, basically, the tenet of feminism is this, that our only difference between men and women is anatomical. Okay? But our behavior and our mannerism, our roles, is completely interchangeable. And it's defined by culture, so by changing culture, you change, you know, like femininity and masculinity. Actually, they don't even like those terms. Okay? It's just some blurring, some, you know? So they want everything males can do, females can do. There's no behavior, no psychosocial difference. It's only difference is anatomical. That's feminism. Okay? And feminism roles are, during Ellen White's time, and Ellen White actually talked about it. She condemned it, actually. And basically, it's gotten a lot of traction. It's dramatically changed our society. So we hear this right now, there's a lot more men try to, you know, staying at home, right? They're saying that, you know, why should women be the caretakers of the home? Men should do it too. So, you know, like, feminists, they focus on, like, you know, equally dividing, you know, all the chores in the home, you know, between man and woman, okay? And have you guys seen this before a little bit now? How, like, females propose to males now? Huh? Have you seen this?
Yeah.
I remember my church friends and I, we had a, or maybe, like, asking each other out. Let's put it that way. Maybe that's more relevant to us. How, like, girls will ask guys out now, whereas before it was, like, guys asking girls out, right? And I remember my church friends and I, we had a discussion, like, is it okay for a girl to, you know, ask a guy out, or, like, a guy? Or should it only be guys asking girls out, right? And before it was pretty clear. The guy would ask, you know, the parents, and then, you know, the girl, and they would, you know, go out and, you know, do their thing. But now it's, like, the girls, like, are trying to seduce the men, and it's just, like, it's all, what? It's all interchanged, right? Why? Okay? It's because of feminism, okay? Any comments or thoughts? No? No? Okay.
So what about the guys that stay at home dads because of, I'm not trying to be controversial.
No, this is a controversial topic.
Okay. So I have a friend, and his wife works.
Yeah.
And he stays home with the three kids.
Yeah.
They are Seventh-day Adventists.
Yeah.
I don't know what goes on behind closed doors, mm-hmm. but that's their situation for now. What would be your opinion on that?
You know, we live in difficult economic times. And it's very difficult to live now financially. And because of certain social economic situations, you know, things might be a bit difficult. So there might be some instances where, you know, maybe just the wife is working, but the man lost his job. You know, right now, because of the economic downturn, lots of sectors where men are dominant workers, like manufacturing and stuff for the industry, they're shutting down, and lots of men are losing jobs right now, right? So, you know, there are difficult situations. But the thing about feminism is this: It says that it should be equally divided. The woman is not more nurturing. They think that men could be just as nurturing as females, and that men are just as good as taking care of as babies as females. And it's just like, there's no distinction. That's the tenet of feminism. It's a principle issue for feminism. Yeah. So, it's an issue in our church. Yes. So we all know that right now our church is undergoing a huge study of what issue? A woman's ordination. Can women be elders and pastors? Right. And it's a gender issue. Yes. Yeah, it's a gender issue. So it's an issue in our church. Okay. And also, our Lord talks about it in the Bible. The Bible is not silent on masculinity and femininity. Okay, and we want to just look over some of the Bible text and see what the Bible says. You know, it doesn't go through all the little details, right? But it gives out good principles about in how we as men and females should relate and understand one another. Okay, so we look at the Bible. Sound good? Yes, okay. So let's do that then. So let's first go to Genesis chapter 1, 26 to 28. Okay. Genesis chapter 1, 26 to 28. If you're there, please say amen. If you're not there, have mercy. Okay. Okay. Are we there? Yes. Okay. So let's all read together. Genesis chapter 1, 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Okay? We all know this text, right? And so what are some aspects? So let's focus first on God created man and woman in whose image? In his own image. Okay? So what do you think this tells us about masculinity and femininity? Mia?
They're both created in God's image.
Huh? Isn't it something weird when our presenters, they ask you the obvious questions? Yes, okay? So I want to make a point. Okay? To be truly human is to have the character of God. Okay, I'll say that again. To be truly human is to have the character of God, whether we're female or male. Both of us are called to have the character of God. Okay? Now, you know, we always say, you know, we're human, we all make what?
Mistakes.
We all make mistakes, right? We're human, we are all sinners, right? And in a certain way, you know, I could understand that. But the point I want to make here is that when God first created us, he meant us originally to what? To have his character. Do we have his character right now as sinners? Huh? Humans in our natural born state, do we have the character of God? No. But the gospel is what? The gospel wants to restore that character back in us. Amen? Yes? In both male and female. So both male and female are called to have the character of God. Okay? So how does this play out? So what does it mean to have the character of God? You know, I hate it when sometimes people preach, it's like so vague. Be like Jesus. Have you ever wondered, like, so what does that mean? Right? Or like, have the character of God. You know? So what does it mean to have the character of God? What are some aspects of God's character? Huh?
Patience.
Okay. What else?
Self-control.
Okay. What else? God is love, to have love, okay? What else?
Humility.
Humility, okay? Actually, let's talk about that right now, okay? So first I want to talk to the guys, okay? How many of us like sports here? Okay? Okay, well, what sports do we like? Call it out. Soccer, okay? Huh? Cross country, okay? Okay? I mean, basketball, right? You know when you guys like score a goal, or like you, like, well, you know, I don't dunk clearly, I'm short, but you know, it's like you watch the videos, like the guy dunks on the guy, and then after he dunks, what does he do? Then the guy like, falls down. What happens? He like stares at him, right? And like it's like expressing his like dominance over the other guy, right? And sometimes we see that as like a masculine character, right? Oh, it's like very masculine. It's like, you know, domination. But is that truly masculine? Yes or no? Based upon this text? No. Because why? To be human is to have humility. Does it make sense? Yes? Yeah? So, you know, this expressing a pride by guys, you know, when you play sports or whatever, it's like we have come to associate that with masculinity, but when God looks at it, it's like, you know, I didn't create men to be like that. I created men to be humble. Amen? Yeah, to be humble, not to express your dominance, right? And George talked about that in his testimony with Taekwondo, right? I could also share, you know, it felt great to win and, you know, to have your hand raised and, you know, it's like you having dominance over people. It's like, but that's not masculinity. Okay, that's not masculinity. Okay, and for ladies, okay, you know, taking pictures of yourself, you know, like vanity, yes, okay, you know, I went to Google and I put self-camera in, right, and 99% of the pictures came out with females, okay, so this is why I decided to talk to the females about this issue, but the sad thing is that some males do this too, yeah, have you seen on Facebook, these guys like taking pictures, like hairs like this, and I'm like, yeah, it's like, have mercy, right? But, you know, it's like, you know, it's like we've come to associate, you know, females, they want to like look beautiful, and like they like take pictures and like put it on Facebook, and like, you like when people liking it, you know, it's like, oh, you're a pretty girl, whatever, you know, all those comments, right? And it's like femininity, right? But the thing is, biblically speaking, is that femininity, yes or no? No, because God created us to be humble. Amen? Yes? Any questions? Okay, God created us to be sexually pure. Okay, you know, there's this idea that men are in love with sex. This is not true, right? You just watch any movie, and the men are depicted as like, you know, very very sexual, not, you know, not having self control, right? I remember talking to one of my brother's friends was telling my brother about one of her friends, and she found out that this guy, right, would be talking to the girlfriend, right? These a guy and a girl, girlfriend. He'd be talking to his girlfriend on the phone and watching pornography at the same time. Okay, and she was like telling this, you know, my brother's friend about this, and what they said was, you know, but you know, I can't really blame him because, you know, guys are going to be guys. Basically, the idea is that, you know, guys are just really sexual. They don't have control over their sex. Right? Is that true masculinity? Yes or no? No, okay? God created us to be sexually pure. Amen? Yes, okay? God wants us to be sexually pure, okay? Same for the females too, right? Yes, okay? When you're flirting and stuff like that, you know, that's not femininity, okay? One of the ladies said self-control, or maybe George used self-control, okay? Okay, God created us to have self-control, right? So, you know, How many of us guys, we love to eat? Huh? Love to eat, right? And somehow it's like masculinity, it's like guys love to eat and they overindulge, but God, true masculinity has self-control, yes? And for ladies, right? Controlling our mouths, yes? Gossip? Amen? Okay, you know, this thing is like, you know, women, they love to gossip, and very interesting, I was having a conversation with somebody in my workplace, and actually, I work in a place, everybody in the workplace is female except for me, okay? And so, we all work in an open space, and you can imagine the amount of gossip that goes on, okay? It's gossip all day long, right? And like, and they will say, oh, sorry, Dan, you know, we have to make you listen to our, you know, our stories and all that stuff. But what they tell me is this, they say, females, we need to talk about it. Is that true, female? Ladies? Huh? So they say, we ladies, we have to talk about it, right? And, you know, to a certain extent, I think you have to talk about it, but we have to make sure it's not gossip, though. Yeah. Amen? Okay? To gossip is not true femininity. Do you agree? Yes? To gossip is not true femininity. God wants us to have self-control to reflect His character. Okay? Any comments? Ning, do you have any comment?
On gossip?
Yeah, gossip or anything.
Oh, you know what, because women are so prone,
we're naturally more expressive and we're naturally wanting more sympathy for people, and so we tend to gossip a lot. And Ellen White says that we are prone to doing this. And the thing is, when I checked out and read about gossip, and I know science tells us that women gossip not because they have sympathy over the failure of one person, which gossip's content is mostly, you know, failures of other people and making fun of it or feeling good about yourself. It is exactly that. Women feel better about themselves because of what happened to that someone or to the other person. And so, but God does not, that's not what God wants for our lives, right? What he wants for us is to be selfless, to not be selfish, and to esteem others better than ourselves. Mm-hmm. So when we engage ourselves into something like this, this is just not a good representation of how God wants us to be mm-hmm. as Christians, and we should definitely avoid it. Mm-hmm. Ellen White also says that our tongue can lead someone to eternal life or death.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to be very, very
careful. Right, right. Like passages in James or something, right?
Oh, right.
Right, 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 yes. Okay, so thank you, yes. And lastly, you know, selfless love. You know, God has created us to have selfless love, right? Other-centered love, and not to focus on ourselves. Yes? Okay, so both men and women, we must reflect this character of God, okay? So let's move on, okay? Second thing is that he created how many?
Two.
Male and female, okay? So this next point I want to make is, God created two distinct sexes, and genders. Okay, what's the difference between sex and gender? Do you know this? Yes. Oh, your name is
Michaela.
Okay. Yes.
I feel like sex is anatomical, whereas gender is like characteristics of the male and the female, and like the roles that they play maybe in society.
Yes. Okay. That's exactly what it is. Okay. So, sex refers to our anatomical differences. Okay. And whereas gender talks about our psychosocial aspects of who we are, okay, and so right now, you know, feminists agree that there are two different sexes, but they do not want to say that there's two different genders, okay, but we have to understand from the Bible that God created two, male and female, and that they're different. Does that make sense? Yeah, that they are different. Because right now, there is an attempt right now to blur the distinctions between male and female. Okay, how are some of the ways that that's happening?
Human rights.
Human rights.
I don't know if I answered your question properly, but women's rights are all, you know, I have a friend, he says, first is the woman, then is the dog, then is the cat, then is the man.
Oh, okay.
So like the man's rights are put last.
Okay.
So it pretty much, society kind of puts women above men.
Okay. Definitely certain aspects of society try to do that. What else? Yes?
Like Chantal said in the other segment,
the dress. The dress, okay. Right. So through the dress, you know, by women and men dressing the same, they try to blur the distinction between male and female, okay? So let's look at some things here. Imagine with me that we're on the Titanic right now. All of us are on the Titanic, you know, and then bam, we've hit the iceberg, and then we're going down. Okay? Question. Should the woman and children get in the boat first, yes or no? Who says yes? All the men should have their hand up, right? Who says no? No? Pardon me?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Would you mind if you share, like, why?
At the same time, it's like you're putting more value on the woman or children's lives than the men's lives.
Mm-hmm.
So I think whoever can be saved, should be saved. We should not try to like put someone on the side and then just women and children.
Okay. Maybe somebody who has who believes that women and children should go first, what would you say? Why women and children? Greg?
Well, I guess the reason is they are weak and they need more protection. Mm-hmm. That's why. For example, like if a piece of wood will fall on a woman, she will die maybe right away there. If a man who like swing a little bit more, hang out a little bit more there, and
Okay. Huh? Okay, Sarah agrees with Greg, so maybe we'll go to George then. Yeah, okay, so George.
As a male, you have a natural protective instinct, like a sacrificial instinct. You just want to kind of sacrifice as a man for the woman.
Mm-hmm.
That's why on the Titanic they said women and children first.
Right.
And the men were supposed to be on last.
Right.
That's why they did that. It's not.
Some theologians they say it's an inner moral instinct that God has placed within man. It's like this kind of protective aspect over female, right? Because Paul says the female is like a weaker vessel, right? So, any other comments? Robert, yes.
Well, children are often seen as the future.
Yes.
Right, they have all their lives to live, and the women are childbearers.
Mm-hmm.
The man is like.
So I asked this question. Okay, Sarah, fine, yeah.
It's I'm actually kind of like having these laughable thoughts in my head, you know, like with respect to the feminists. And if there was a feminist on ship there, in her time of crisis, would she be like, oh, let the man go first? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, let me, whatever. Because she would definitely want to go first, and in our most vulnerable moment, we'd be like, let me go for, you know?
Right.
We feel the need to be protected.
Right.
We naturally feel the need to feel secure, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
So it just made me laugh, like, you know, in your most vulnerable moment, you know, you will want to go first.
Right. You know, it's very interesting. I was listening to a radio talk show with a Christian theologian. His name is Dr. Albert Mohler. And basically he asked this question. The whole talk show was on this question. You call in, basically you say whether you think that women and children should go first. And a feminist called in and said, no, like, females and males should not, females should not go first because that's suggesting that we're weaker and that's suggesting that there's a difference. Right, so because immediately when you say that women and children should go first, you're saying that there's a difference between men and women. Is that true? Yeah. So she's, you know, but of course feminism, they deny that. So like, so she's like, no, you know, it shouldn't be like that. Then Dr. Moore is like, you know, when you're in danger and you're around men, if you're on the Titanic, I think you would say something different, right? And I think there's like that moral instinct, right? But I raise this point to say that, you know, most of us will say that, you know, women and children should go first, and that suggests that there is a difference between male and female, right? So transgender clothing, right? Unisex washrooms, right? You guys know that this is coming out now, right? Huh? You guys don't know? Yes. They're making unisex washrooms to accommodate transgendered students in schools now, and. How, ladies, how would you feel if you went to a washroom with the same washroom as the man?
Right?
No, right? But the thing is that feminism is so, they're so bent on eliminating all gender distinction that they've gone to this extent. Right? I remember at U of T, I went to a washroom. And I was looking around for the male cubicle. There was no male cubicle. I was like, man, how in the world does a washroom not have, you know, a male washroom not have a cubicle, right? And then I turned around and there was a female there. And the female gave me the most, like, why in the world are you here? You know, this kind of look. And I was just like, oh my goodness. Because like, it was a female washroom, I didn't know that. Right? And so I walked in, I was like, man, what's wrong with this male washroom? And like, there's a girl in there, she's like, you know, I was like, oh my goodness. Right? Not good, yes? Unisex washroom is not good, okay? But right now there is an attempt to push these things because, you know, you have to eliminate all gender distinction. Of course, and, you know, homosexuality, bisexuality, transsexual, all this stuff is the same attempt. So, you know, there is we have to be very clear that there is a distinction that God made male and female. Yes? God made male and female. And of course, there are some very complicated aberrations from that, right? And it's, you know, as a result of, you know, in Genesis 3 world, we live in a fallen world. Some things, you know, go wrong, you know, when you're born and stuff like that. But that does not negate a norm. Amen? Some exceptional circumstances does not negate a norm. Okay? So that's really important to remember. Okay? All right. And lastly, it says, then God blessed him, and God said to them, what? Be fruitful and multiply. What does that imply about masculinity and femininity? He made male, he made female, and he told them, be fruitful and multiply. Huh? Okay, work together to reproduce. Okay, so I want to point.
They cannot reproduce with each other.
Without each other, okay? The point I want to make here is that your sex is linked with your sexuality, or should be. Okay? So if you're a female, you should be attracted to a male, okay? If you're a male, you should be attracted to a female, okay? And you know, right now there's lots of bisexuality, transsexuality, all these are confusions, you know, straying from what God has defined masculinity and femininity to be. And, but we, you know, but people in culture, they just follow whatever. But we as Christians, as Seventh-day Adventist Christians, know with foundation, we know clearly, you know, what our sexual identity should be like. Yes? Okay? All right. So let's move on. Let's go to Genesis chapter 2, 15 to 22. Okay, Genesis chapter 2, 15 to 22. Man, we're not going to get through any of this. Okay, bye. All right, Genesis chapter 2, 15 to 22. So let's read 15 together. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to what? To tend and to keep it. Okay? To tend and to keep it. Point I want to make here is that biblical men are men of productive action, not pleasure seeking. Okay? Amen, ladies?
Amen.
Yeah? Biblical men are men of action, not pleasure seeking. Okay? Have you noticed a lot of grown up men are playing video games now? Huh? You know, it's like, for me, it's the funniest thing when I see a couple in the subway, and the girl's like sitting there, and the guy's like sitting there on his like little like Nintendo DS or something. And he's like probably 20, 30 years old, right? It's not uncommon to see men who are 40, 50, 30 to be playing video games, right? And it's like there are boys in men's bodies, okay? And basically, it's like they're still focused on pleasure seeking, okay? But when God created Adam, what did he say? Have pleasure. Roll around in the grass. Is that what he said? Just go swimming all day long. He said what? Tend and to keep it. Okay? You know, we as men, we have to be men of action. Amen, gentlemen? Yeah, we have to be men of action. Do something productive. Fix stuff. Study so you can preach. Do ministry. Amen? Okay, we have to be men of action, okay, and not pleasure seeking. Okay. Too many men now, all they want to do is just hang out, play video games. You know, you guys know this? Like, free time, they don't do anything productive. You know, just, you know, watch sports for like many hours, you know, waste time. Okay? This is not true biblical masculinity. Okay? Now, let's read on. Okay? 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I'll make him a helper comparable to him. Okay? It is not good that man should be alone. What does this tell us about masculinity and femininity? That it is not good that man should be alone. What's that?
They're good together.
They're good together. Okay. What else? Pardon me? They need one. We need one another. Okay? Amen? Okay? So the point I want to make here is that let's stop the gender wars. Okay? Have you ever been in a conversation with like maybe your youth group, your friends, and it becomes like this guy versus girl thing, you know? Have you guys been in that? Yeah, it's like, oh, you know, girls are, you know, who's more smarter, girls or guys? Who's more stronger, girls or guys? Right? And all it's like back and forth, right? Let's stop that. Amen? Okay, we are made for each other. You know, when Adam saw woman, Adam saw Eve for the first time, what did he say? I'm better than this girl. Is that what he said? I'm smarter, you know? Is that what he said? He went into poetry. You know, he says, yeah, oh, this is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. It's actually poetry. He broke out into poetic song. Okay? So men, we have to like uplift and like admire females and support them. Yes, ladies? And ladies, okay, you know, please stop calling us immature, irresponsible, and dumb, you know? Okay? Amen. Amen. Yes. Okay? We have to like empower our men. Empower our men to be all that they can be. Yes? Isn't that such a better model than just like, oh, boy versus girl, you know? Man, it annoys me so much when I hear that. Okay? So let's stop the gender wars, friends. Okay? Now, this is when it gets interesting. Okay? We'll just end off on this point. We haven't even gone through half of it, but, you know, for the sake of programming, we'll just end off on this point. Okay? Is there any significance in the fact that man was created first than Eve? Is the order of creation significant? Yes or no?
Yes?
Yes? Explain. Somebody explain. How do you know? Why is it significant? It's Michaela, right?
Michaela.
Michaela, okay. Yes. Okay. Yes. Okay. Okay. Is there? Do you know the Bible text for that? Supports that? Huh? Who's it? Yes. Let's all go to 1 Timothy 2:11. Okay. Let's go to 1 Timothy 2:11. Michaela has hit the nail on the head. Yeah. 1 Timothy 2:11. Okay. Now, this is a very controversial text right now, okay? In Adventism, in the Christian world, okay? But we're going to study and at least understand the main principle of this text, okay? 1 Timothy 2:11, are we there? Yes? Okay. Let's read it together. Let woman learn in silence with all submission, and I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man, but to be in silence. Why, Paul? Verse 13. For what? Adam was formed first, then Eve. Okay? Okay, now, first of all, he says, you know, women should learn in silence. Okay, does that mean that Angie should not give a morning, evening devotional tonight? Huh? Is that what it means? Huh? Why? Or like, you know, Crystal should not have given that purity seminar because she's like teaching. And I was there, she's teaching me, and I'm a male. Is that what it means? Huh? Okay. In 1 Corinthians 11, it talks about women praying and prophesying. Okay, so Paul, it's okay for women to pray and to prophesy in public worship, okay? But they have to do it in a way of humility and stuff like that. So the issue here is authoritative teaching, okay? In positions of authoritative leadership, namely as elders and pastors. Okay, and you know, you keep reading on to verse 3, it starts talking about elders and pastors, okay? So, and what's the reason for that? Because so I'll get to your question out there. You know, does Paul say, oh, because, you know, it's just culture? Is that what Paul says? Because our culture is patriarchal, is that the reason? Because he goes back to what? The creation order. Before the fall? Before sin came? Yes, okay, before sin came. Okay, so he said, something in the created order that man was created first, then Eve, shows that women should not have authority over a man. Because why? Men are supposed to be in positions of leadership. Okay? Yes, your name and question?
Myra.
Myra, okay.
I just had a comment.
Yes.
Women should really be authority to, like, places, because the way women think is different than men, in a sense that they're more emotional.
Okay.
We're wired quite different, and also our bodies are different. And about the children and women first, that's because children and women aren't more physically stronger than men. Men are more physically stronger than women and children.
Okay. Right. So yeah, you open another whole can of worms. Like, this big debate, are we actually different? And like, I totally agree with you that there is a difference, right? And God has given in man some characteristics that help us in leadership, right? I could be excommunicated in some circles for making that statement, okay? But the point is that in the church setting, okay, that God has called us to be leaders, okay, in the church. Okay? So my question is, can we be equal but have different roles? Yes or no? Yes? Explain. Examples. What are some examples? Mia.
The Trinity.
Yes, explain. Yeah, that's actually one of the best examples. Paul used that example, yes.
God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they're all God. They're all equal, but they have different roles and functions.
Yes, okay. Right. What else? You have a committee. Yes?
I was just going to say the same thing. Even if you look at the body of the church, personal ministries is important. Sabbath school teachers are important. All of these different aspects of a church are important. They're equal in the sense that the church wouldn't be the same without any of them.
Right.
But the roles are different.
But the roles are different, yes. Right, exactly. Even on among the angels, you know that there's leadership among the angels? Did you know that? Elmai talks about that, right? Doesn't mean that one is lower in value before God. No, okay, it's just different, you know, different functions. George.
I was just going to say, like, even, like, ECYC, when he's organized, like, the president's not better than, like, the VPs and stuff, but they're all equal, but just, everyone has a different function that they play.
Right,
like,
right.
The secretary, the treasurer, the president, the VPs, they all play that.
Right, right. Right, right, right. It's good to hear the president say that. Amen? Yes, you can be equal in value and dignity and worth, but have different roles. Amen? Okay? And this is what spiritual leadership, we call it the male headship principle, is all about. Okay? And so, God calls men to spiritual leadership in the church, right? And so I want to speak to the men here. I was a couple years ago, I went to an Ontario conference youth leaders meeting. Okay? And like 80% of the youth leaders are male or female? Huh? Are female. Okay? And you know, I'm not saying that females can't lead a youth group or something like that, right? But it tells us something, doesn't it? It tells us something, right? And we all know right now that males are gone from our churches, right? The males leave our churches. And I recently heard in African American evangelical churches in the United States, women outnumber men 4-1. So men just disappear, right? And it's like this thing's like men are not spiritual, church doesn't connect with them, you know? Or if they are in church, they're just, you know, kind of going there for their wife, right? Or their kids, right? But God needs godly men in leadership, amen? We have to be active in taking leadership roles, right? And I want to talk to the ladies, you know, you have your roles too in ministry, okay? I'm not saying you can't, but, you know, I think it would be great if, like, we see more women to help empower men, encourage men to be the men that we need to be. You know, honestly, we need some help sometimes, right? Can we admit that, gentlemen? Huh? We need some help sometimes. But the help is not, you know, oh, you know, men, we have no more men, you know, we'll just do everything, okay? But it's kind of, like, you know, just encouraging us, you know, to be the leaders that God has meant us to be. Yes, and I know this is very controversial because our church is studying right now, and you guys probably clearly see where I stand on the issue, okay? It's an important issue, and I think the Bible does speak to it, and we have to, you know, study for ourselves, right? All right. So, you know, just in closing, you know, this is a huge topic. It's a very relevant topic, and I believe it's a very important topic. Yes, and. It's a big issue, and I encourage us all to just go out and study for ourselves, right? And you'll understand. It helps us to understand who we are and what we're supposed to be doing, okay? And it'll help us to find our way through all the confusion and all the confusing messages that are coming at us in society. So the Bible speaks about it, LMI speaks about it, and I encourage us to talk about it, to dialogue about it. And I hope that this past 45 minutes that we've planted some seeds of thought that hopefully it will bear fruit in the future. Okay. All right, so let's close off with a word of prayer. So please bow your heads with me. Eternal Father, we thank you for your word, and Lord, you've created us male and female, and you have a plan for each and every one of us. Please help us to understand masculinity and femininity from a biblical perspective. Please help us to find our way through all the conflicting, confusing messages of society so that we may represent you in our relationships, our homes, and our churches, the relationship between you and us in salvation. So please be with us and guide us. We pray these things in Christ's name.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.